the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
As so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on As Goes Wisconsin. Carol Kane and Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. You can always join us, especially right now. It's time for public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. If you have a question for the doctor, 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Dr. Lyerly, how are you?
So good. So excited about the holidays.
I bet you are, and you're going to be working on Christmas Eve, we know.
I leave for Minnesota tonight to work the full stretch. But, you know, I like working over the holidays because maybe I get to deliver a Christmas baby or maybe I get to deliver the New Year's baby. That's really satisfying.
That's wonderful. It really is. That's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to start. We were talking earlier, Dr. Lyerly, about Assembly Speaker Robin Voss now says Assembly Republicans want to put on the April ballot a referendum on whether to limit abortion access in Wisconsin to 12 weeks or 14 weeks of pregnancy. And then we got a call from Stephen in Green Bay, who is pro-life. And I wanted to clarify something for him because his wife was pregnant. The fetus had died. She had to go to the hospital so that they could do a DNC, I'm assuming.
That's what I was assuming.
And
yes.
He said that she was very upset. It was a Catholic hospital, but they listed it as being an abortion. It's my understanding that that is the technical term for those procedures, is it not?
Well, this is what politics does. It messes up your life with mistruths. So the truth is that a miscarriage is a spontaneous abortion. That is the medical name for a miscarriage. An abortion just means that it's the end of the pregnancy. The pregnancy is no longer viable. These are the medical words. But what politicians do is they take words like these and they emotionally charge them and they polarize them and they use them to divide us. And it makes me so angry because of people like Stephen. And my heart goes out to Stephen.
And his wife.
I mean, and his wife,
yes.
Like here they were suffering. You know, it sounds like this was a desired pregnancy and they're suffering like so many people do. Up to half of pregnancies end in miscarriage.
Wait.
Add that additional.
Up to 50% of pregnancies end in a miscarriage.
That's correct.
I don't think that's widely known at all.
No, I didn't. That's.
I wouldn't know that at all. No.
Yeah. And some end so early. So we don't have a great number on it because some end so early that we just, you know, we don't, it's like a period. It doesn't get tracked as a miscarriage, but some end later. And the further along you are in the pregnancy, the harder the miscarriage is, the more you get attached. If it's a desired pregnancy, the harder it is on your body, the harder it is to pass what we call products of conception. All of that stuff that's inside of the uterus that then has to come out. It's really uncomfortable. It's very, you know, the whole process is just, it's emotionally laden. It's physically hard. So like, why do we throw this extra layer of stigma on people who are already suffering? So Stephen, I'm sorry.
Now, let me ask you your opinion of the time limits. You know, what do you think about the 12, the 14 weeks, the 20 weeks? What's your thoughts on that?
What are your thoughts on that? I mean, you know, what is it about 12 weeks that makes it better than 11 weeks and 6 days? Or how can you like negotiate? It's not like we're talking about, you know, getting 75% off after Christmas sale here. You know, this is like, we're talking about a pregnancy and the difference between when you have a limit between the day before the limit and the day after the limit is arbitrary. And it all depends on how you date the pregnancy. Is the pregnancy dated on known date of conception? Is it dated by ultrasound? Is it dated by last menstrual period, which is traditionally not all that reliable? So is it really 14 weeks or is it 15 weeks? We get surprised sometimes when we take an ultrasound picture and, you know, actually measure the fetal growth. So I feel like when people are trying to put a number on when somebody can no longer have an abortion, it's all so arbitrary, and it completely takes the humanity, the person who's dealing with this, out of the conversation.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest. It's our public cervix announcement. If you have a question for the doctor, please feel free to call or text at 844-967-2789. Dr. Lyerly, we also wanted to talk a little bit about, well, first I wanted to mention this, and Greg had mentioned this to me off the air, about how happy he is that you do this program, because our discussion last week was about women and how many eggs they have.
The physiological makeup of women, explaining the eggs, because a friend of mine brought up that Taylor Swift video last night, and I spoke to her about you being on the show and explaining these things, and at the end of the day, those four idiots who asked the question, does she have any eggs, if you were to walk in the room and say, well, I can tell you that, they would have been like, no, thank you, that's gross.
Because they don't actually care.
No.
They don't care about Taylor Swift or about women. All they care about is inciting fear and hatred.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. But anyway, I think you do a vast service where people can ask questions without being embarrassed.
Yeah.
Well, why should you be embarrassed? You know, I kind of approach this show as like we're all sitting together in an exam room and you are trying to solve a personal question. Yeah. And so we talk about it in medical terms, and you bring your values and your beliefs and really what you're dealing with. I'm always surprised at some of the things that my patients bring into the conversation, because sometimes, you know, you have to have like a reason for your visit on the schedule. So when I'm looking at the schedule in the morning, I'll see like vaginal bleeding, and I'm thinking, well, what does that mean? Because it could mean so many different things to different people. And as we start talking about the story and what the concerns are, and people start bringing in their fear and their experience and what they think it is, there are many times when I'm like, oh, I hadn't even really considered that, but yeah, let's go down that path. So this just like really emphasizes to me how important it is for all of us, every single one of us, to be treated like an individual when we are seeking medical care, and to go into it with the right information, not what we hear from Charlie Littleface Kirk, you know?
Tiny teeth. Little teeth. And I mean, there have been many times where I've walked into the room and either Kristen or Jane, when you're going to be on the show, they'd be like, oh, we're talking about, you know, this kind of thing. Like, and it deals with a woman's body. I'm always like, let's talk about it. I want to know.
I want to learn.
Because I'm a feminist. I'm pro women. I'm pro all the good things. But also, I don't know. I probably know damn near nothing. So it's, if I can just learn, especially from someone like you who's so excited to explain it and talk about it, then that's amazing. It's wonderful.
I am kind of unusually excited to explain and talk about these things.
Vaginal bleeding. Let's do this.
Well, and actually, now that you mention that, that's a very fairly common occurrence, and it can be related to a number of different things. Is that right?
Vaginal bleeding happens to half of the population. Think about it.
I got it.
Well, here we go. I mean, you know what? I got to be honest with you, Doc. Every day I try to learn something new, and now today you've already told me two things that I didn't know. So now I've learned two things.
You knew the second one because I just said it in a funny way, because half of us have uteruses and menstruate.
Right.
And that's vaginal bleeding.
Oh, so this is not bleeding outside of a menstrual cycle.
Well, it is. I mean, it's any bleeding that comes out of the vagina. The question is it normal or is it abnormal? Bum, bum, bum. Because to you, because we don't talk about vaginal bleeding, even though, like, you know, half of us do. But is it regular bleeding? Is it heavy? Is it painful? You know, are there problems associated with your periods? I've talked with so many women who will just say, yeah, my period's always irregular. Well, that's not normal. Maybe that's your common pattern, but it's not normal to have irregular periods. So if that's the case, and this is the point I really want to drive home, if you are having irregular periods, if you have been through menopause, which is a year without a period, and you start bleeding again, these are conditions that just, they need to be evaluated, probably with an exam, maybe an ultrasound, maybe some diagnostic testing, but these are abnormal conditions and your period is like a vital sign. For women, it is as important as your blood pressure or checking your pulse or any of your weight, you know, all of those other things that we commonly do when you go see your doctor. But doctors, OBGYNs usually ask this question, but a lot of primary care doctors don't ask, you know, like, are your periods regular? And that's a really important thing for you to be thinking about, regardless of where you're at in your lifespan.
Well, and it's also my understanding, Dr. Lyerly, that if you do have a very irregular period, that can sometimes be corrected by the use of birth control pills. Is that accurate?
Ding, 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 Jane, you are so right. That is actually one of the most common solutions that we have for irregular periods. And, you know, there's a very common condition called polycystic ovarian syndrome. About 10% of the population has it. It's related to a hormonal imbalance. It's really important that people who have this problem have the therapy, the treatment that works for them, whether it's birth control pills or an IUD or whatever you choose to do, because without that, if you're having irregular periods down the road, that can actually lead to a cancer.
Oh my.
I have a friend who actually has it. She's a comedian and she talks about it on stage, says the whole name, explains it in a very funny way, and talks about what you were saying, the higher than normal frequency of how many women suffer from that condition. And so when you said that, I'm like, I thought of my friend immediately, and I'm like, I know some of the things about that because she talks about them on stage, and I love that.
Uh-huh. That's great. And using comedy as a vehicle is a delightful way to get through uncomfortable subjects.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sure. That's how I've gotten through most of my life. So.
But that's why court jesters existed, because they were the only ones who could speak truth to power and say the hard things out loud.
Are you saying that we are like court jesters, Jane?
I would be. If I can get the shoes with the turned up toes and a bell on it, I am so in.
Oh, that's easy.
I'll go to
Amazon right now. What's your shoe size?
I'm so into jesterhood. I will jester all day long. If you have a question for Dr. Lyerly, Tom, I see you on the line. Hang on. 844-967-2789. When we return, your questions and more of Dr. Kristen Lyerly and the public cervix announcement on As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
They shouted, honey.
Wonder Woman,
but go behind. They can't catch me.
Wonder Woman,
cause I'm too strong. They all want what I got. Never leaving me alone. I ain't gonna break for that. I'm a Wonder Woman. Watch out.
As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you along with us. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Rye, Carol Kane, Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. You can join us at 844-967-2789 every Thursday at this time. It is our public cervix announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And if you have a question for the doctor, you are more than welcome to call or text in. Tom from Grafton, thank you for your patience, Tom. Good morning. Welcome to the show. What did you want to ask Dr. Lyerly?
Hi. I had a question about abortion and its numbers. I know it started in 73, and according to the figures I've seen, there was like maybe 600,000 done that year, and then maybe around 1990 it went up to, like, supposedly 1.5 million a year, and I think now it's down to about 1 million a year. And so I think the total is like over 50 million. Million, and I was wondering if you think that's accurate at all, and if, you know, how many of them might have been medically necessary or not. And it seems to me that if it is true, that it really has changed this society, and I hope that I'm able to get on here again after asking this tough question.
No, I appreciate the question, Tom. Thank you very much.
I appreciate the question too, Tom, and I think it's really hard to put a real number on it, because we might have started counting in 1973, and I don't know. I don't, off the top of my head, have those numbers. But, there has never been a time where we haven't had abortion, because abortion is part of healthcare. You know, we talked earlier about how it's related to miscarriage management, complicated pregnancies, infertility treatment. Throughout time, as medical technology has changed, as access and contraceptive technology has changed, the need for abortion has, and laws, as laws have changed, the need for abortion has ebbed and flowed. Ideally, I would love to see a day when no abortions ever had to be performed, but it's just not realistic, because there will always be people who have their water break at 17 weeks or who, you said medically necessary. It's really hard to define what medically necessary is, because you've got to think about not just physical conditions, but also psychological conditions. And then once you start thinking about socioeconomic and support and family, everybody who seeks an abortion does it because they have a reason. And that reason makes sense to them within the context of their own lives. That's why it's so hard to legislate. You can't just draw a bright line at a certain week. And, you know, that doesn't even bring in like religious ideology. When you look at where Catholics believe life begins and where Jewish people believe life begins,
absolutely,
they're totally different. They're on totally different ends of the spectrum.
Yes.
So how do you write one law that applies to everybody? So, Tom, I appreciate your question. And obviously, you know, this is a really complicated situation. My goal in life and the whole reason I'm here and the reason I do my job is because I just want to take care of people. I want people to have the information they need so that they can live their best lives.
And provide the medical care that they need.
Yeah, that's so satisfying. I just love taking care of my patients.
And I think it's important to remind folks as well, Dr. Lyerly, before advances in medicine, women were dying in childbirth all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what? All the time.
Yeah, it used to be women used to fear pregnancy because they didn't know. Infant mortality numbers were really high. I'm sure we all can look back into history, into our own families, not only babies that died, like, you know, stillbirths, but also babies that died soon after birth. And then all of the diseases. I mean, in my family, we lost, I think, three of the eight siblings in my grandfather's family died of diphtheria.
Wow.
Back in the early 1900s. Yeah. So things have changed so much. And when you legislate, you can't keep up with the pace of technology. So you really have to trust medicine, trust doctors, trust science, trust women.
Dr. Lyerly is our guest. It's our public service announcement. If you have a question for her, you can call or text or leave a comment on the live stream, 844-967-2789. A couple of minutes that we have left, Dr. Lyerly, let's talk a little bit about emergency contraception.
I saw a headline this morning. I probably get different headlines than you do. I saw a headline this morning that said that use of emergency contraception is expected to spike 10% over New Year's.
Oh, there's number.
Why?
I've just learned three things now.
People be doing it on New Year's. Oh, yeah. Oh, sexy.
I had to chuckle because that was my first thought, too. But then they also talked about rape and domestic abuse and how that all factors in as well. And so I thought this would be a good opportunity, as we are anticipating this big event where people are going to be using more Plan B, to talk about what is Plan B. So I want to make it very clear, Plan B, emergency contraception, the morning after pill, those are all the same things. They are contraception.
It's not that abortion.
It's not abortion. It prevents ovulation. And that prevents a pregnancy from occurring. So if you need to use Plan B, great. By all means, use it. Don't make it your primary mode of contraception, though. Use it, you know, when you need it. A condom breaks, you have unexpected intercourse, that's cool. But really, if you're anticipating that you're going to be having sex, condoms, always recommended. And then some sort of reliable form of contraception that you can tolerate, that works well for you, whether it's an IUD or the little implant that goes in your arm or a pill. You know, there are so many different options out there right now that I can find something for almost anybody.
And I know I'm asking you to pick this number out of the sky. Do we have any numbers on condom usage or condom sales?
Oh boy, I can't pick that number out of the sky, Jane, but I hope it's really, really high because condoms are really important, not only at birth control, but also preventing sexually transmitted infections. Right. And we've been seeing rising numbers of sexually transmitted infections. I mean, every kind. We've talked about syphilis so many times.
Yeah.
But yeah, many other things as well.
I got some numbers. Just a cursory search. It said last year, 10.7 billion in 2022 and 11.6 billion in 2023.
As far as
condom
sales or condom usage?
It's like condom sales.
Condom sales.
Yeah.
I don't usage think would be hard to track, wouldn't it?
I know my dad sold an awful lot of them.
How many condoms are sold per year? 450 million are sold annually in the United States. That's just the United States.
Wow.
Well, and you know, the thing is that that's so easily accessible now. You know, back in the day when my dad was running his pharmacy, they had to kind of go around. Everything was put into a brown paper bag.
Right.
And now it's all just sitting out on the shelf. So it's really irresponsible not to.
And the guy would be like, I'll take Magnums. You're like, I'll give you regulars. You're fine.
Yep, everybody can dream.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a dream.
I keep a vase full of condoms at my house. Oh. I have four sons. So I do. I have a vase full of condoms at my house. And they laugh about it. But, you know, their friends come over and they
take them.
Condoms. They laugh. They're chuckling. But, you know, I say to their friends, you never know when you're going to need it.
I'll just take one as a joke. Maybe I'll take four.
That's fine. Hilarious.
Thank you.
I'm going to make balloon animals with them. Leave me alone.
They're kind of sticky, though.
That's hilarious.
It's a whole different kind of animal. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us every Thursday. Are you going to be back with us next week?
I would love to.
Fantastic. We will see you then. Have a merry, merry Christmas, Dr. Lyerly. All the best to you and yours. And we will see you in about a week. Stay with us when we return. Paul Noonan talking a little sports. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Welcome if you're listening in Madison on WMDX. And a shout out to Wausau, listening on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Carol Kane and Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. And we're joined by sports guru and writer for the Acme Packing Company. Paul Noonan is here. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Hi, Paul.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to start with off with his head.
Yeah.
And I'm just talking. I'm talking about Joe Barry from the defensive coordinator for the Packers.
Yeah. Joe Barry had a rough, well, 2 weeks, actually. And I feel like the Tampa game was kind of a tipping point for everybody. Anybody who wasn't paying attention to Joe Barry before, seeing the Packers get absolutely lit up by Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over and over again, using kind of one of the same four plays, never altering their game plan or changing. It was just so obvious what was going on there, and that the defense was completely outmatched for no good. Baker Mayfield's not good. The Tampa Bay offense has been stymied by many people this year.
Not us.
And after the game against the Giants, where they let Tommy DeVito tear them up and not get no sacks on him, everybody that's now just like, what are we doing here? And why is Joe Barry still employed? Because this is clearly a scheme problem at this point. It is not a player problem. Devondre Campbell's not supposed to be covering Chris Godwin. That's not supposed to happen. That is a coaching problem. And so I think all of these calls for Joe Barry to go are justified at this point. And I thought Matt LaFleur's reaction was actually pretty surprising at his press conference the day after.
Well, but this guy, Joe Barry, has been Joe Barry for years. You know, why in the world you think just switching teams is going to make him any better as a defensive coordinator? I mean, this is his playbook. This is exactly what he's been. I don't even understand how he gets hired in the first place.
This is the biggest bit of old boys culture in the NFL. And the NFL is very much an old boys club at the coaching level, which is honestly a little strange given how hyper-competitive it is at the player level.
Seriously.
And, the Packers players griping about it this week, Devondre Campbell in particular, I think is completely justified just for that. But for those who don't know why Joe Barry is where he is right now, he is the son-in-law of Rod Marinelli, former head coach of the Detroit Lions and some other places. He was famously hired by his father-in-law to be the Detroit Lions defensive coordinator during their 0-16 season, where he ran one of the worst defenses in the history of the NFL. That is how he got his start in the league. That is why he is considered to be a defensive coordinator in the first place, because his father-in-law gave him the job completely unjustified. There was no reason to do that. He eventually got fired, got demoted. He wound up on Washington as a like linebackers coach or something when Jay Gruden was the coach there. He ended up there because he'd worked for Jay Gruden earlier in his career under Tampa when John Gruden was the head coach. So it's all brothers and whatnot. And ended up getting promoted to DC there. He was horrible in Washington, got demoted again, ended up in Los Angeles on the Rams or wherever the Rams were at the time. Hard to keep them straight. Working there when Matt LaFleur was there. And that is how he ended up on the Packers as their DC, where he has again failed miserably. So he has never succeeded in this job. And he only has ever had this job because he knows people or the brothers of people who are better coaches than he is.
I had no idea that letting another guy fail up was so entrenched in the NFL. That's pretty remarkable.
That's a Nepo baby if I've ever heard one.
No kidding.
Absolutely. The Packers also going to be facing the guy they passed over for Joe Barry this weekend, Ajero Evero, who is the Carolina Panthers defensive coordinator. And that team is a train wreck of talent and ownership, but their defense is actually pretty good. And Ajero Evero was with the Denver Broncos prior to this, where their defense was also pretty good. He was moved out because Sean Payton, who took over there, likes to have his own people. He did not get fired for collapsing or anything like that. Denver's defense has been very good under Ajero Evero, and he's likely to get head coaching looks pretty soon as well. So we definitely should have fired him instead and did not, and paying the price for it.
What was Matt LaFleur's defense of Joe Barry?
He handled that very poorly. One of Matt's worst press conferences that I've honestly ever seen, because he blamed it on, he was a little vague. He blamed the Tampa loss specifically on communication problems on the defense, but everybody, including the players on the Packers, read that as this is the player's fault for not communicating switches properly. And the players did not care for that. And you got to choose your words more carefully there, because it was very clearly Joe Barry's fault. And you can't be losing the locker room over things like that. If you're going to put responsibility somewhere other than Barry or go to bat for him, which you should not, but if you are, you got to eat that yourself. You got to be like, yeah, I should have been more involved in the defense. This is primarily my problem. You can't be doing like, this was on the players. Like, you just can't in that situation. It clearly was not on the players.
Okay. Now, as we look forward to, we cannot lose to Carolina. I mean, we
but
just
we can.
Sure, we can. So Carolina is atrocious. That is 100% true. They're one of the worst teams in the NFL. They have two wins. And even if we do lose this game, by the way, it does help us a little bit, because it'll push the Bears out of the top two draft picks where they can get a good quarterback. They're currently better than the Giants are. My favorite advanced metric is DVOA. Don't need to bother explaining it on the radio. But the Giants are the worst team in DVOA overall. The Carolina is the second worst. So we just lost to the worst team in the league 2 weeks ago. And Carolina has actually been a little bit frisky since they fired their coach. They fired Frank Reich, their head coach, 3 weeks ago. They have an interim coach named Chris Tabor. They're still not a good team, but they have been playing much more sound defense since that happened. And they've been at least a little bit more creative with Bryce Young, their young quarterback, their rookie quarterback, since then as well. And if you want to be a little bit scared, Bryce Young is actually kind of like Tommy DeVito on the Giants. He is very fast and small in stature and typically gets sacked like 5 times a game like Tommy DeVito does. But if you kind of run the same offense the Giants did and just give him one read and then tell him to run, I mean, if Joe Barry plays the same way, the same thing will happen. It's not a talented team, but they have schematically similar players to what we've just lost to the last 2 weeks.
Sports guru Paul Noonan is our guest. He writes, among other publications, for the Acme Packing Company. And we're talking about Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator for the Packers. After what you've said, Paul, I don't have to worry about Joe anymore. No matter what happens to him, obviously he's going to get a job somewhere because someone's going to hire him.
Did you hear that Joe Barry's the commissioner of the NFL now?
Yeah, no kidding. That's what it's going to come to.
That's pretty astonishing. All right. Do you think we're going to win on Sunday?
So if I had to put money on it, yes.
Yes.
But I'm not as confident as I should be because Carolina, we're much more talented than this team. We just are. But I do worry about the Packer locker room a little bit and some of the drama they've had. Devondre Campbell and Mrs. Campbell have been tweeting about how this is Barry's fault this week. There have been some other grumblings out of that locker room. The Packers are pretty good about keeping things in-house, but they let some stuff out every once in a while. And I don't like going into games with a lame duck coordinator. Joe Barry is going to get fired at the end of this season. And if you don't have guys who are respecting the coach and the scheme being called, that's not always good for you.
Yeah.
So we should just be able to overwhelm this game with talent. We're far and away better than Carolina. Our quarterback is better. Our offensive players are all better. But I do worry about sort of the locker room aspect of this more than I should. So, I picked the Packers, but if they get upset in this one, I won't be that surprised about it.
Carol, how are you feeling about Sunday's game?
Listen, I love the Packers. I'm a huge football fan. So their performance this year has been lackluster at best. But I can't fathom that they would lose this game. I just can't.
Remember that game against the Giants?
Yeah.
Remember all the games we weren't supposed to lose this season?
Yep.
I'll go out on a limb and say they're going to win by 2 touchdowns.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
All right.
Whoa.
Write it down.
That'd be nice.
You heard it here first. 11:44 a.m. the 21st of December. Carol said 2 touchdowns, a victory by 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
We'll see how you do.
If you win, I'll eat herring on air.
If Aaron Jones is off of his pitch count, Carolina's one big weakness is run defense. Not because they're kind of bad at playing it, but they just don't have the big horses. They're really hurt and untalented on the defensive line, and they've got beaten up by good running backs all year. So if Jones plays, I think that is a huge plus for the Packers. Takes a lot of randomness out of the game. But if he's still on like that 8 carry pitch count he was last week, and you got to rely on Patrick Taylor to carry it again. That's also an area of weakness for us, not being able to exploit one of Carolina's big defensive weaknesses. So Jones is huge in this game. If he plays, I think that shifts things in a huge way towards Green Bay.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Moving over onto the Bucks, and Dame Lillard is he's doing things.
Well said, James.
Thank you. It's very basketball term. Yes.
So he just scored his 20,000th point and moved into 51st place all time in the NBA. And like, I've known Damian Lillard is a good player for a long time. I actually didn't realize he was quite that good until I started looking at some of his, metrics when he joined the Bucks. That's by the end of this season, he'll probably be in the top 40 or 35 scorers in the league.
Wow.
Which, considering all time and a lot of those, guys at the top are all time greats, like, that's really outstanding. I think he is an underrated scorer. Being in Portland, I think sometimes that happens to you. Milwaukee, too. And it just does amaze me that we do have him on the team. I know basketball nerds that I talk to complain about the Bucks defense still, but they're so fun on offense now that they've kind of gotten everybody integrated.
You heard that, Joseph Pecky? You heard that, Joseph Pecky? Nerd.
Seeing Giannis and Lillard when they're actually working together is so fun, and I'm just glad we have him, and that he does have that milestone now, past John Stockton. I think Anton Jameson is ahead of him next. Really an all-time great. You don't get those guys that often, they don't come around very much.
Paul, I don't know if you know the answer to this, and I think I saw something about it this week. Has the game ball controversy been resolved with Giannis and the game ball?
I believe Game Ball Gate was resolved.
Okay.
I know it's over. I think he got it. The whole it was It was very funny. I did love their excuse of like they had a rookie who scored his first points, and they were like, "Oh, we were saving it for him." Like, no, you weren't. And also, it wasn't his first point. He'd scored one in the in-season tournament before. So
we're just gonna trust. We're gonna just gonna trust that this is the actual game ball. Okay.
I mean, who knows, really? I do like the burgeoning rivalry we have with the Pacers. It's turning into something pretty fun. They're snarky with each other now. They get into each other's skin. So
did you see that video of Giannis's brother like trying to rush the court after someone like manhandled him? Someone manhandled Giannis. I don't remember what team. I just saw it. And his brother's name is
Thanasis.
Thanasis. And he had to be held back by two guys. Because he did not like how his brother was being treated.
Don't be touching my brother.
I was
like
amazing.
That.
I'm like, that's so cool.
The couple of minutes we have left, Paul, the Brewers did a trade yesterday.
They did. And I think the best way to classify this is actually a salary dump, which is not something you like to say. But I think there's maybe a good reason behind it. So they sent Tyrone Taylor and Adrian Hauser, two useful players, to the Mets for Copeland Crow, I believe his name is, who is a pitching prospect who had Tommy John surgery last offseason and so can't pitch. It will be off.
Yeah, Paul, we're talking to Jane about this off air, and we only have what can you briefly explain Tommy John surgery and its effect?
Yeah, no problem there. It's when you blow out your ulnar collateral ligament in your elbow, you grab a partial part of your ligament out of your leg, just a little chunk of it, and you fix it with that ligament. It takes about a year to come back from, and pitchers actually usually come back as good, if not stronger, after one Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
Two starts to hurt you a little bit.
Ooh.
Jimmy Nelson came back from one, but didn't.
Jimmy's problem was his shoulder. He tore his shoulder up. Pitchers almost never come back from shoulder injuries. Yeah. It's still unsolvable. So I do think that salary dump maybe at least partially to keep Corbin Burns around. And I think they were originally planning on trading him before they got Woodward bad injury news last year. Now I think they're planning on keeping Burns, so they're going to pay him. So at least there's that.
Paul Noonan, thank you so very, very much for joining us. We will be off the next couple of weeks. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Stay close. When we return, one lucky waitress and one nice tip. And we have a thank you, a cookie thank you.
A cookie issue.
So stay close. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
They want your business.
This is the show.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Carol Kane, Greg Bach are with me in studio live. From our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha, Calvin's on the board. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party!
We wanted to start with, and we're going to get to our cookie thank you in a minute, because I think it's really important. And those are among the most beautiful cookies I think I've ever seen.
They're gorgeous.
Watching the live stream.
You get a sneak peek at the cookies. They're crumble cookies. And they're as big as your head.
Yeah, you know they're delicious too.
You know when they're fancy, they don't put a last vowel on there. That's
very fancy.
Very fancy.
That's one sign of
crumble
fancy.
Crumble cookies. Send us more.
Send us more. But we're going to start with a lucky Waukesha waitress. I saw this on WISN. A server at Dave's Restaurant right here in Waukesha, which
is 2 minutes away.
2 minutes away, right on Broadway. She is looking for the mystery customers who left her a tip of $1,000.
Nice.
Is that not cool?
Right.
Sherry Mady.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry Mady says a group of women called Dave's Restaurant asking if they could seat 11 people. And she said they were all really nice. Sure, no problem. Come on in. Before leaving, they went to the register and handed her a card. Inside was a $1,000 tip and a message saying, quote, "We do this every year to bring blessing to a server. You are very sweet. Thank you for accommodating us." Signed, Pewaukee Moms.
Something that should be happening more often, because that's working for a living right there.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you're waiting tables, man, that is working. And so you should be getting those kinds of tips, like couple times a year easily. I think that's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
And a breakfast server too. I mean, that's, you're getting up early.
You're on your feet. You are running.
I don't know where I heard it from. They always said, always tip breakfast servers twice as much because they're getting up earlier. They're working real hard. They're dealing with a lot of people. No disrespect to lunch and dinner people, but
breakfast
is a different animal.
My daughter tried it once to wait tables. And she lasted a week. She was just like, she was talking. And Elizabeth is bullock strong. She's really strong. And she was talking about how she had to carry these trays and how heavy they were. And she, you know, and even sometimes even the clientele, they don't treat them properly. Obviously, these Pewaukee moms, they get it.
Yep.
So I think it's wonderful. And you know, at this particular juncture, at this time of the year when money is thin to begin with, you know, I'm bleeding money this Christmas. I really am. I'm bleeding money.
Stop shopping.
Yeah.
Well, it's.
Nope. There it is.
It's just one of those situations where I like to have, I really love my family to get and enjoy the holidays. And okay, I get it. I'm probably.
Well, but we just talked about this yesterday. The act of giving actually does you good. Mm-hmm. And it actually makes you feel good.
Right.
Yes. Much, much more than buying a $25 gift for yourself. You're gonna have much more satisfaction giving that gift to somebody else. So.
Right. Right.
Sherry Modi would like to know who these women are just so she could say thank you.
That'd be nice. Sure.
And it's Sherry Mady.
Oh, Sherry Mady. And how do you know this?
I know that because Sherry Mady is my cousin.
Come on.
She is my first cousin. She is the daughter of my father's sister. And when I saw this, I saw the first thing I saw was the last name. I'm like, wait a minute. Then I saw the first name. I'm like, okay, come on. Then I saw the face. I'm like, well, that's Sherry.
That's your cousin. That's your first cousin.
That's my first cousin, Sherry. And when I saw that and I saw the interview, I was so excited because, you know, that you're right. Great people. Hard workers. And they deserve those special moments of appreciation. And so if you're listening, cousin Sherry, I hope you have a great holiday. And let's hang out because you literally work at a restaurant 2 minutes from the station.
Well, we're going to have to go visit her one of these days if she's so close.
And absolutely.
Sherry does say she is hoping to pay it forward one day. So that's what it's all about. If we can all do that a little bit, the world would be a much better place. Speaking of making the world a better place, we want to thank our regular caller and listener, Karina, who lives in Milwaukee, came all the way out to Waukesha today to bring us this box of these beautiful Crumble cookies.
Yep. Crumble is the name of the company. Crumble cookies. And
they're gorgeous.
I showed them on the live stream, and I have some pictures and I'll put them on the social media. But these cookies are huge.
Yeah.
And they're delicious. And we are appreciative.
Oh,
and Karina,
so appreciative.
Thank you so much for stopping by to drop these off. We really, really adore. And thank you for calling.
And listening.
Thank you to everyone for calling and texting. You can do that by downloading the Civic Media app.
It's so easy.
If you want to be part of this fun little family.
There you go.
Did you know the best thing about the Civic Media app?
I think I do. It's free.
It's free.
And it's easy to use.
Very easy to use. And you could call and or text right from the app.
Jane, what's that tagline that you made up that no one in marketing approved?
Download the Civic Media app today. I can't say it will change your life for the better, but it shouldn't make it worse.
There you go.
Hi.
Civic Media.
Brought to you by Civic Media.
So, thank you, Karina. We appreciate you. It was great to meet you in person.
Yes.
And we're
It's always so interesting because people have the opportunity now to watch us on the live stream. And when Carol and I started in radio, no one ever saw you.
Yeah.
Which I thought was part of the big appeal of being on the radio. But now you can see us on the live stream. It's always fun for us to be able to see you.
Yeah.
If you're a regular listener or caller or texter. It's like, because we always used to hear, you don't look anything like what I expected.
Well, what did you expect?
The most egregious one was I had a guy say to me once, this was a number of years ago, and he goes, oh, you're Carol? And I go, yeah. He goes, huh. I went, what? He goes, I had you pictured with red hair and big boobs. And I said,
Good Lord.
He said at about 5'2". And I said, well, you couldn't have been more wrong. I have like light brown hair, short, I'm 5'10", and no boobs whatsoever. So that was the end of that one.
I can't believe he actually said
that. He said that to me. And the look of disappointment on his face was palpable. I was just like, well, I'm sorry. I'm such a disappointment to you. He goes, I just had this whole different image.
In his head, every woman who speaks is red hair with big boobs.
And 5'2".
Yep.
All right. Stay close. The news is coming up next, followed by the Todd Alba Show.
Happy holidays.
Thank you for listening and calling and texting and bringing us cookies. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay tuned to the Civic Media Radio Network.
I knew you was telling lies, I'm telling lies. Yes, I did.